Today, on this great feast day of the church, we hear a multitude of voices. Among other things, here at St. John's, it's the last Sunday for a while at least that we will hear the beautiful voices that we just heard as the choir takes a much deserved break for the summer. Indeed, it's the last day we'll be hearing one stalwart bass voice, at least for a while, as Stratton and Robin prepare to leave us for a season of new endeavors. It's a day when we'll be hearing two new voices as two persons are baptized into the body of Christ. And while we may hear some cries and some squeals, that's not what I mean by their voices. What I mean is that once they have been baptized, they will be called to sing and tell the story of the good news of Jesus Christ, just as each one of us is committed to doing that in our lives. And then, of course, it is Pentecost, and we've just heard the story of that time when the disciples were gathered in a room waiting, still unsure of what was going to happen in this time after Christ's death and his strange and mystical appearances. And Luke tells us this, that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. There were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each, speaking about God's deeds of power. A multitude of voices, all in different languages, yet all singing the same song. Several weeks ago, I heard on the radio the story of one man's response to the tragic bombings at the Boston Marathon. Stephen Randall is a songwriter who lives in Wellesley. He had been inspired by the words that President Obama spoke at the memorial service at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross several days after the bombing. And the president said to the assembled congregation, "You will stand, you will walk, you will run again." Randall took those words and composed a song with those particular words as the refrain of the song, and he recorded it. But then he did something else. He has put the song on a website where people can go, and through modern technology, they can add their voice to the chorus. And his hope is that this particular song, over the days and weeks and months to come, will have more and more layered voices added to it. And as an example, he played his teenage daughter's voice, whose wonderful jazz riffs went in and out and around the melody, and indeed gave a fuller sound to that particular song. More and more voices, all joining one song. Well, we don't need to imagine what that might sound like, because it's what we do here every single week and in our life together as St. John's Church. Voice after voice being added to the story and the song of God's mighty deeds. I said earlier that through holy baptism, two new voices will be added to the chorus this morning. They join our voices who sit here today. But of course, it's a many more layered song than that. Did you ever notice the words that are on the front of the marble baptismal font right here? I saw them the first time I walked into this church. Inscribed on that marble are these words: "From the Children of St. John's, Easter, 1845. 5 years after this church was founded, there were children singing songs of giving their gifts so that a baptismal font might still be used today." But make sure you take a look more closely at that baptismal font, because it's not only their voices. They gave the marble bowl, but if you look at the wooden stand and go down to its base, you'll see these words: "Presented by the members of the Young Men's Bible Class, St. John's Sunday School, Charlestown District, June 25th, 1876. More than a generation later, young people were adding their voices to the song. But that's not all. 65 years later, these words were inscribed on the wooden cover over the font. In grateful memory of Mrs. Florence May and Thomas Carlyle Russell, from the Church School Pupils and Friends, Advent, 1932. Another generation of choristers. Were they teachers, these two? Were they beloved matriarch and patriarch of the church? Some of us out here might be able to tell us. And finally, in the silver bowl within the marble font, these words, in loving memory of Letitia Fisk. I did not know Letitia Fisk. Perhaps someone here did. And truth be told, there will come a day when none of our names will be known or remembered by the people worshiping in this place, but our voices will still be part of the song. You and I are part of a great choir, whether we know how to carry a tune or not. And even if you have said no to Douglas Witt time and time again when he has asked you to join the choir, you are a part of it, and you know your part. You do, I do, and I'm absolutely sure of that. I know it because you and I have a master teacher. For how is it that we learn? We learn when someone knows us, loves us, and speaks to us in a language that we understand. Someone who knows the particularities of our unique experiences, who knows our pains, who knows our failures, who knows things we have never revealed to another, who knows the secret dreams that we harbor and the hopes that we have for ourselves and our children. How is it that we hear each in our own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, male and female, straight and gay, young and old, Towny and Toonie, Episcopalian from the cradle, and fervent new convert, God speaks to our hearts in the language that we need to hear and that we will understand. We hear this Holy Spirit because she knows us. She knows the particulars of our lives and the universal experience of what it means to be human. Last Saturday night, I attended the candlelight vigil for Stephen Jones, the young man who was killed by gunshot violence here in Charlestown. As I listened to his mother describe her grief, I knew it was a grief that I could not know, having never reared a child. And yet the next day, I walked along with some of you with thousands through Dorchester in the Mother's Day Walk for Peace, and saw group after group of persons with t-shirts memorializing the name of this teenager and that teenager dying in 1996 or 2003 or 2005, all victims of gun violence. A unique grief, yes. A universal grief, which every human being knows, yes. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in the language of our grief, through the language of grace. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in the language of our hurts, in the language of our hopes, in the language of our losses, in the language of our loves, in the language of our impoverishment, and in the language of our imagination. That's what the men and women who loved Jesus discovered on this day after his death. God knew them, and God gave them the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim God's mighty deeds in their lives. On this day, we do hear a multitude of voices. May the voice that sings and speaks through all of us be the one who woos us, who wakens us, and who empowers us for life and love in this world.